one of the things that can stop us from telling other people about Jesus is, well, there are so many of them. The task is overwhelming, but where do I start? It's too hard. I'll just leave it to the experts. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond, and it's great to be back with you again. Today we're going to take a look at following the lead of the Holy Spirit from a different perspective. For me, being someone who's come to know Jesus is just the most awesome thing in my life and has been for the last decade and a half. But for a good many years, the notion that I have some role to play in sharing Jesus with others, well, it was like a millstone around my neck. I suspect it's like that for a lot of Christians. But when I really spent some time figuring out God's plan for me in this whole evangelism thing, all of a sudden I discovered a freedom to get out there and share my Jesus with other people. One of the things that really used to get to me was the overwhelming size of the task. I know so many people who don't know Jesus, and yet I don't feel gifted to tell them it. It was such a burden. And then I saw something in Jesus that set me free from that. There are so many things that paralyze us from sharing Jesus with others. And one of them is the sheer volume of effort. It's demanding. We all know lots of people who have never met Jesus Christ. We can't tell them all about Jesus, can we? I remember being in India a few years back. India is a place with so many people, and I'm looking around thinking, wow, most of these people have never met Jesus Christ. I can't do all this. It's not me. God hasn't called me to do this. I'll leave it to the experts. That's what the Billy Grahams of this world are made for, after all. That's what they do. And when we take that attitude, when the volume and the size of the task just kind of gets to us and we give up, as surely as God made little green apples, guilt begins to set in. We have this attitude that all those people out there who need to know Jesus and don't know him, because I know them, they're my problem, they're my burden. I have to do something about it. Oh, Lord, what am I going to do? There are too many of them. I can't do this. It's too hard. I'll leave it to someone else. The minister will. The evangelism committee will. Or the street ministry team at my church. Or, you know, somebody else's job. It must be. It's not mine. But you know, Jesus won't let it rest there because he has a plan. He has a plan to use you and to use me to touch people's lives with his love. And the reason that this niggles away at us and it never seems to ever quite go away is because Jesus has this plan. Question is, how do we deal with the fact that there are so many people who need Jesus? And you and I are just one person each, you know. There's a wonderful story. If you have a Bible, it's in the fifth chapter of John's Gospel, which is the fourth book in the New Testament. It runs over the first 20 or so verses of chapter 5 of John's Gospel. There's a festival happening in Jerusalem, and Jesus goes to a pool near the Sheep Gate in Jerusalem, and there are so many sick and blind and lame and crippled people lying close to the pool, lots of them. And beside the pool, there was a man who'd been sick and lame for 38 years. That's most, if not all, of this guy's life. Now, what does Jesus do when he wanders into a place where there are so many people who need healing? I mean, Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus has the power to heal all of them. What does he do? What would you and I do if we had the power to heal all of them? Well, he sees this one guy who's been sick for 38 years. And when Jesus realized that, he said, "Do you want to be healed?" And the man said, "Lord, I don't have anyone to put me down in the pool when the water stirred up. I try to get in, but someone always gets there before me." And so Jesus said to him, "Pick up your mat and walk." And right then and there, the man was healed. He picked up his mat and he started walking around. Now, it was the Sabbath day. Jesus heals this one guy, just one. This was Jesus, remember. He could have had a mass healing service that day. It could have been a really spectacular event, you know. Why does he only heal one? Well, just a few verses later, he tells us, Jesus told the people, "Truly I tell you, the Son of Man cannot do anything on his own. He can only do what he sees the Father doing." And so he does exactly what he sees the Father doing that day. Now, so that blows me away. This is Jesus, the Son of God, and he says the Son cannot do anything on his own. What is it that makes you and me think that we can? If Jesus says, "I can't heal people on my own, I can only do what Dad's doing today. And when I see what Dad's doing, I go and do that." I've heard someone refer to this particular verse, John chapter 5, verse 19, just really simply, "Do what Dad's doing." Now, why was God the Father only healing one guy that day? I don't know. But that's what God was doing that day. That's what Jesus saw him doing. And so Jesus walks into that one thing because God had prepared it, ordained it. It was for him to do on that day. If you listen to the first message in this series, we talked about Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, and it said that we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do the good works that he prepared beforehand for us to do. Why did Jesus only heal one man that day? Because God had only prepared that man to be healed on that day. Now, let's unpack that a little. I think this takes a huge burden off my shoulders and off your shoulders, because we look at all those people out there, people whom God created, people who God knows, and all of a sudden God's saying, well, my son can't do anything without me when he's walking around here. So why is it that you think that you can? Why is it that you think that it's up to you, that you have to pick the people to talk to? What is it that makes us think that we have to go in there on our own and heal everybody and bring Jesus to everybody? That's God's responsibility. It's God's timing. It's God's choice. God is doing stuff out there. Do what Dad's doing. So what's our responsibility, yours and mine? I think it's like Jesus. When he walked into that pool area, our job isn't to heal them all. Our job isn't to bring them all to Christ. Our job is to get close enough to Jesus to hear him whisper in our heart what he's doing today. Today, call so-and-so, ask them out for a coffee. Or today, send so-and-so an email, ask them how they're going. Our responsibility is to figure out what Dad's got planned for today. Let me ask you a radical question. What if we started every day, every meeting, every church service, every barbecue with friends, with a prayer that goes something like this? Dad, show me today what you're doing. Tell me whom you want me to encourage, or pat on the shoulder, or have a cup of coffee with, or help. I've already said this before in this series. My gift is doing exactly what I'm doing right now. My gift, in particular, is not one-on-one evangelism. I mean, I'm passionate about what I'm doing right now, but that one-on-one evangelism thing, to be truthful, doesn't flick my switch. Yet I can point to, over the last year, a half a dozen people who have come to me when they were ready, who know who I am, who've worked with me or fellowship with me, and they've come to me and said, tell me about your Jesus. I had a close friend who I've known for years. We're great mates. He's made some mistakes in his life and he's worn the consequences, and I've never felt to preach at him and tell him what I think. I just felt to be there and encourage him, and he contacted me recently and he said, I want to get together with you to talk about Jesus. I'm ready now. See, we can try and do things in our own strength, and they're called dead works. And they're worse than a waste of time. Not only will they not work, not only will they not have worked for Jesus had he walked into that pool to try to heal all those people because Dad was only healing one guy that day, but it's downright destructive when we try and shove the good news about Jesus Christ down the throat of someone who's not ready to listen. But when we do what Dad's doing, then we experience the power of God in people's lives. Can I set you free? Telling other people about Jesus isn't taking it all on our own shoulders, and it's not about me taking it on my shoulders. Telling people about Jesus is listening to Dad and doing Dad's stuff, doing the stuff he's already doing, and the closer we get, the more we'll hear his call to do our little bit, the more we hear his heartbeat for that one person that he wants us to touch today. We love sharing the gospel with as many people as possible so they can experience a real and tangible relationship with God. So before we go, I'd like to tell you about our free daily devotional to help you and your friends draw even closer to God. It's called Fresh. Each day you'll receive a powerful scripture together with some words of inspiration, hope, and encouragement. The best news is that it's free and delivered right to your inbox each and every day, where you can choose to read, listen, or watch the daily video. Completely up to you. It's God's Word, fresh for you each day. To receive your free devotional, just hop on the website freshdevotional.org. You'll see the Fresh e-devotional sign up waiting for you right there. And as a bonus, I'll also send you a free copy of my ebook, How Can I Hear God Speak to Me? So head to the website and sign up to receive Fresh. We pray that your heart will be touched and transformed as you draw ever closer to Jesus through his word. That web address again, in case you missed it, is freshdevotional.org.
I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again, same time tomorrow, with a different perspective.